What's going on, everyone? Welcome to our first Buffalo Bills podcast of the season, brought to you by TippleTower.com. I'm Crystal Kranitz, and joining me throughout most of the season is going to be Tristan Garnett. We're going to take you through everything Buffalo Bills throughout the season here. Tristan, how you doing, man?
Good, Chris. Glad to be here for the first Bills podcast. Ready to get started. Glad the season's back. Can't wait to get into it.
Man, I cannot wait for football to come back. The Hall of Fame game getting canceled last week was a bit of a tease. I just felt like it felt like Christmas morning, and you get down there and they go, yeah, Christmas is canceled. That's really what it felt like for me.
Yeah, honestly, football fans, we've been waiting for so long. You know, Super Bowl was back in February. You know, everybody's pumped, and then, you know, just get that game stripped away from you. But luckily, you don't have to wait too long. We got the first game coming up against the Indianapolis Colts coming up this weekend. So just ready for it, man. I'm pumped.
Same here. There's a lot to talk about with the Buffalo Bills. On today's podcast, we're going to go through training camp injuries. Obviously, that's headlined a lot of what's happening around the Bills. We're going to share some of our thoughts from the first 11 days of camp. Sammy Watkins, there's lots to talk about him this year with his foot and hopefully him taking that next step forward. And we're going to dip into the bit of the Bills receiver and running backs group. We're going to start off, though, with the obvious elephant in the room here. It's the injuries. You got Shaq Lawson, the first pick, who was already out. He's out till projected week 8. Then you get the bad news of Reggie Ragland. They thought it was a partial ACL tear. Turns out it's a full ACL tear. He's done for the year. Then you get Cordy Glenn with a high ankle sprain, likely out for training camp. Then you get Greg Salas banged up. Then on Thursday night, you get Desmond Lewis and Aaron Williams bumping heads, and it looks like Aaron Williams is probably out with a concussion. And then to top it all off, on the one-year anniversary, IK NMK Pale punches Cyrus Quandjo, a Bama guy, and basically celebrates the one-year anniversary of him breaking Geno Smith's jaw with what he did last year. It's kind of a mess, man. I mean, what do you make of all these injuries, Tristan? What's going on?
First and foremost, like, the big one, like, we already knew about Shaq Lawson. Like, that happened early on. But, like, Reggie Ragland, like, that's just a tough pill to swallow. You know, he got injured on a non-contact play, really just a fluke play. Here's a guy, you know, you're expecting just really big things to come in and do for the Bills. You know, he's going to be that run stopper. Rex thinks he's a three-down guy. You know, as GM Doug Willie said, like, between him and Lawson, these were going to be guys that come in and they're going to make plays right off the bus. So that was, to me, that was the biggest one. You know, definitely that was a big sting for the team. So
I got to agree with you on the Reggie Ragland thing. It's really disappointing. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Bama fan and I love to see these guys contribute. But now I've heard some chatter about how fans and other people, especially around Twitter and Reddit and everything, you read, football season's drawing near, so you go searching for information. A lot of people are saying now that it might not be a bad thing. There might be a silver lining in this injury because you're going to get guys like Brandon Spikes, David Hawthorne, and Zach Brown who are going to play a lot more. And because they're veterans, I've heard people say this might minimize the rookie mistakes, although I don't think Reggie is prone to making those. Do you agree with that at all, that message that people are saying that, you know, it might not be the worst-case scenario?
Well, definitely, you know, when you have veterans, they've been around a long time. They know what they're doing. So, I mean, that is going to minimize some of the mistakes. But at the same time, like, you know, as Rex said, like, Reggie Ragland is a rare talent. You know, here's a guy that they picked up in the second round, but he really should have probably gone in the first round. Like, he has that type of talent, you know, just gets in there, stops the run, plays all three downs. So, I mean, definitely it's great to be able to rely on those veterans, but I don't see how they're not going to miss Reggie Ragland, you know, getting there and, you know, stopping things in the middle. So,
does this put more pressure on Preston Brown now? I know last year he was pretty much given the leadership role of the defense, especially within the front seven there. He was basically the man calling the plays. Does this not only enhance his role now, but raise expectations?
Definitely it enhances his role, and I guess it would too. Enhance the expectations. Like, I mean, Reggie Ragland was penciled in as a starter, again, based on where he was drafted, the type of talent that he is. So Preston Brown now can use this as fuel and say, you know what, here I am. You know, I'm a guy who's been around here for a while. You know, I know the system. I've been here. You know, so I think he should use that as fire, and he should use that to motivate him and definitely just step his game up, you know, and, you know, just when Reggie comes back, at least make it somewhat of a competition or, you know, just not maybe a slam dunk. So
let's slide over to the offense and talk about the receivers who seem to be dropping like flies as well. Sammy Watkins had the offseason surgery. He's slowly working his way back. He's looking better and better, actually taking part in 11-on-11 team drills. Then you got guys like Greg Salas and Desmond Lewis are both vying for that number 3 spot. both injured now. I don't know what to really say about all these injuries because I don't know how they all just keep happening. It's kind of weird how the Bills and even the Patriots to a certain extent are just getting drilled with injuries. Do you think this is going to affect the race for the number three wide receiver now? Does this open up the opportunity for Marquise Goodwin to kind of take over that spot?
Definitely. And Marquise Goodwin's been a guy who's been here for, you know, a few years now. Again, he's got a little bit of experience. He has that speed. So definitely when guys are injured, you know, this is your opportunity to step up. You know, he's going to be able to make plays while Dez Lewis is sidelined, while Salas is sidelined. Greg Little is also a name to keep an eye on. He's a guy that was selected in the second round a few years ago. He's a bigger receiver compared to some of the other receivers that the Bills have. And, you know, he's been noted that he's made some spectacular catches so far during training camp. So Greg Little is also another name I would keep an eye on, as well as Marquise Goodwin for that third wide receiver position.
I'm happy you brought up Greg Little because he was obviously a player that was highly touted coming out of UNC.
Yeah.
But drops have killed this guy during his career.
Yeah.
And on Wednesday at Bills camp, they were saying that he was suffering the drops again, and Rex and Greg Roman were getting really pissed off with that. I don't know what it is for him, but if he could ever overcome that, maybe he could lock down that fourth or fifth spot for the receivers.
Yeah, definitely. And again, when you have that reputation going for you, you know, you've got to get rid of those case of the drops very quickly. You know, that's something you got to eliminate. You know, look the ball in, come down with the catch. But again, I think with his height, because I think that's a big thing with the Bills. Like, they're not the biggest at the wide receiver position. Like, I know Dez would also be a nice guy if he can be that third spot, just because he's about 6'4". You know, Greg Little is, again, taller, 6'2 plus. So, again, I think because when it comes to wide receiver, you like to have some variety, right? It's good to have the small, quick guys, but you definitely want some guys that are a little bit bigger, physical, you know, especially down in the red zone too, so.
I was just going to say that because the Bills' struggles in the red zones last year, it was bad.
Yep.
There's no way around it. And not having a guy like a Dez Lewis or even a Greg Little for that matter, just you may not have to throw the fade, but if they get one-on-one coverage out there and you throw it once in a while, you're making the D at least respect it. And nobody was respecting the Bills on the boundary at all last year. They basically knew that they're going to try and run it down their throat or get Tyrod to make an improv play, and they just stuffed the box and said, beat us. And there's a lot of threes last year. Speaking of Tyrod, though, he gave the Bills a big scare in camp on Tuesday when he hurled a defender and landed in the end zone kind of awkwardly.
Oh, my goodness.
And they were worried that he hurt his back and his head or his neck. They couldn't tell what it was, but he got up walking gingerly. And obviously everybody was really upset about that. Rex was pissed, rightfully so, because it's practice, it's training camp. So I know Tyrod wants to make plays, but he's got to kind of understand his value. How worried are you about him being injury-prone this year? I hate throwing that word around there, but given the way he plays, is it a concern?
Definitely it's a concern. Like, the way he plays, he's going to run. He's an improv runner. Like, you know, so you're as a Bills fan, you're kind of always holding your breath. Anytime, you know, he looks off the receiver, he doesn't go through all his reads, and he just sets in his mind that he's going to run. Again, too, because Tyrod is not Cam Newton. And I mean in terms of, like, the physique. Like, Tyrod is, what, maybe 6 feet at best? Terms of weight, what, 210, like 215 max? Like he doesn't have.
Yeah, I feel like that's generous.
Yeah, and that is being generous. You know, he just doesn't have the physique to take those big hits. So I think this year with Tyrod, because he missed time last year, right? Because he took some hits.
Yeah, he had the banged up knee.
Yeah, so I think definitely what he's got to do, what he's got to work on, or what I'd like to see for him this season is protecting yourself, you know, a la Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's really good at this, you know, knowing when to slide, knowing when to get out of bounds, you know, because this team goes with Tyrod, and, you know, he's got to play a full 16 games if the Bills are going to make it back to the postseason this year.
I think it makes for a nice little segue here when you brought up how Tyrod needs to slide and do a lot of things to take care of himself.
Yep.
We'll get into, like, notes about training camp, and one of the things that really stood out for me is that they've been using a lot more quarterback draws and keepers in their red zone package. Now, obviously, this is going to directly affect Tyrod because that's you're going to get more hits if he's going to do that.
Yep.
But they've been bringing in a lot more of Cardale Jones and E.J. Manuel. We've seen 12-gauge, what he can do at the college level when on draws and keepers.
Yep.
Maybe the Bills relieve some pressure from Tyrod by bringing in Cardale in the red zone?
I think it makes sense. Like, again, you mentioned what he did in college. Like, when you're in the goal line situations, you know, with that big body, why not use Cardale on the quarterback sneak? You know, why not have him in the gun fake the run and give him the option to run it in. And then he also has that arm. He can hit a tight end on the flat. He can hit, you know, somebody running the corner, fade, whatever it is. So I definitely think they should make use of Cardell's size, because he's a freak at that position, right? Like 6'5", 250. You got to take advantage of that. So
yeah, he is 6'5", 250.
Yep.
I don't know about the whole depending on that, though, on the package. I mean, I know they're trying to get creative, obviously. Greg Roman's notorious for running. We saw in San Fran, he ran a lot of traps, a lot of misdirection, a lot of different things to kind of create zone blocking schemes that allows the linemen to have success. I don't know what else they can add in the red zone and how comfortable players would be coming out. Like, we've seen a lot of times where guys, quarterbacks especially, do not like coming out.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that would ruin, you know, maybe Tyrod's chemistry with certain guys or his flow of the offense. It's just something I found interesting.
What about Charles Clay? Like, why don't we see more of Charles Clay when they get down in the goal line? Like, I mean, he's a dependable tight end. I don't know why they don't use him more down in the goal line.
Yeah, I don't understand why either. It's puzzling to me, because I felt like he was a guy that we were going to see a lot of. He was a big piece for them signing last year in the offseason.
Yep.
We obviously saw in Miami, he racked up touchdowns.
Yep.
He had a career year.
Yeah.
And considering how heavy of an offense the play action is.
Exactly.
Like, I don't understand why it didn't work.
Yeah. And again, you mentioned the play action. You know, you get a good fake. You get him, you know, against a linebacker. You know, I'll take that matchup every time with Charles Clay. You know, he's sneaky fast. And he also has that size. So definitely I think they should try to use him more down in the red zone this year.
I think we will see that more. Maybe we're like kind of foreshadowing something here, especially with if they're going to incorporate more red zone offense that's going to involve the shotgun.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it make sense to kind of, you know, fake the read, and then you'll get the backside play action, or you can even get, I don't know, you can get him in one-on-one matchups like we were just saying. There's a lot of different things they can do, so I'm kind of hoping that'll work.
Yeah.
Or maybe even I'd love to see him bring back the shovel pass that he would do at times in San Francisco. Greg Roman would do it at times with either a Delaney Walker or even a Vernon Davis.
Yeah.
When they were doing that, I mean, it's different. He didn't do it a lot, but it was something to keep them honest. Even if he did it like a little flip pass, Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
I know he's there now.
Yeah.
Just things like that to kind of mix it up and keep the honest, because they had a hard time scoring points last year in the red zone.
Yeah. So definitely you got to get a little bit more creative. So that's definitely something I could see work, just because, again, like, Tyrod is so imposing back there. He's always a threat to take off, right? I would just be a little bit weary, though, because, again, in the goal line, you know, everything's condensed, and then I go back to his small little frame. I don't know.
Yeah,
man.
I get worried about that.
You might into some big hits, but it could work. You know, Greg Roman's creative, so I think he could probably design it some way and maybe protect Tyrod at the same time. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see, though, for sure.
What do you make of the offensive struggles as a whole right now? They've had some issues moving the football in 11-on-11 and even 7-on-7 team drills. To the surprise of no one, EJ Manuel has been noted for hitting the check down too much right now. I don't think that surprises anybody.
No, that goes back to his days at Florida State. Like, he's a check down type of guy. Like, you know, he loves the short game. You know, it's always so hard to get him to throw the ball down the field. So that's definitely not a surprise here. EJ's still doing that, so.
So I guess we can kind of, you know, scratch off EJ Manuel. I feel like Bills fans have already written him off, and Doug Whaley just doesn't want to give up because he was a first-round pick for him, and he invested a lot.
Yeah.
But this offensive struggles
Whaley
with Tyrod
Taylor. Called him, what, the best backup quarterback in the league, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, no, he did say that. So that was a heavy investment on his part.
Yeah. No, I think EJ, like, again, with EJ, we know what we're going to get, right? Like, we've seen the best of EJ Manuel, I think. We know what to expect from him. But I wouldn't completely scratch him off, too, just because, again, we were talking before about Tyrod, his size, how he likes to run. Like, with Tyrod, it's, you know, it's no guarantee that he's going to play every single game. And, you know, Cardale Jones is very raw. So, you know, you at least want EJ to be well prepared to take over this offense if it comes to that, which it very well could. So.
Totally agree. And I feel like the thing with Cardell is he's got the big arm.
Yep.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But everything else in between, we haven't really seen, because at Ohio State he got beat out.
Yeah.
The last time he was really a true bona fide starter was at Glenville High School.
Yep.
And he's a legend there, but at the same time, you know, you haven't seen much. Actually, Fork Union Military, he was pretty damn good there too. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like EJ has been really disappointing, and I think that's kind of a thorn in the side of Bills fans because it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Because he never took that step forward. So what do you make of the offensive struggles, though? I mean, as a whole, like, things aren't looking too great in camp. I think that more be attested towards health. They're not as healthy. The line is, but, you know, everybody else isn't.
Yeah, everybody else is. Like, I know with Sammy, you know, he's still getting used to some things. We mentioned how some of the secondary receivers, they've been banged up. But, too, just going with Tyrod's style, like, I feel like Tyrod is kind of like Allen Iverson. Like, he's not a practice guy. Like, you see the best of Tyrod on game day when he can improv, you know, where not everything is scheduled like how it is in training camp, right? Like, guys have to kind of let up. You know, they're not really trying to come at him. Like, I feel like Tyrod's at his best where he can just be him and the instincts take over. So that's not necessarily something you can replicate in practice, I think. So it doesn't really surprise me that they're struggling early. You know, it's the beginnings of camp. But it is also disappointing at the same time because, again, starting with Tyrod Taylor, he's the leader of this offense. And this is his second year working under Greg Roman. So you kind of wish he would have taken that step and been further along by this point. So,
well, Greg Roman's calling him a franchise quarterback throughout this training camp. So
yeah,
he's got to be pleased with what he's seeing.
Yeah, and I'm sure Tyrod appreciates that, you know, because he wants that new contract. So,
oh, hell
sure.
Yeah. His agent loves that chip. It's a good bargaining chip right there.
He'll take that every time, being called the franchise quarterback. He just wants to be paid now like one, so.
Yeah, the 2-year, $30 million bridge deal is, I think he's happy with it, but I don't think he's, like, thrilled. I think he, you know, he's still singing for his supper, per se.
For sure.
So the Bills released their depth chart 2 days ago as well.
Yep.
Anything stand out for me from there? I mean, I feel like the offense was pretty straightforward. There wasn't really any surprises there, but defensively there was a couple of surprises.
Yeah, for sure. Like what we were talking about, Darby moving up to the second corner. The Bills are showing a lot of faith in him. They think he can anchor his side there at corner. But that third string position, like right now we have penciled in, we have Roby there, Mikel Roby there. But I mean that's pretty open, right?
Yeah.
They've added some other guys. They have some young talent, so anything can happen. That's definitely a position to watch, that third cornerback, nickel corner position. So,
yeah, I could see Kevon Seymour and Corey White both kind of working in the rotation eventually.
Yeah, and with Seymour, like, you have so much value. Like, that's a guy you picked in the sixth round. And early in OTAs, here he was taking first-string reps. You know, so they're definitely getting way out of him, way more out of him than they expected, so.
Yeah, they definitely needed that.
Yeah,
like they're gonna have to. On the D line, though, I mean, Adolphus Washington, pretty big move there to be the starting DN.
Yeah, for sure. But he's a guy that's coming from Ohio State. He's well coached. He's a big body, so definitely I can see why they like him. Definitely, you're hoping that he can kind of just set the edge there, force everything inside. So, for sure, I can see why they like him. No doubt.
Me too. I think he could be like a Chris Canty type role where he's not going to show up on the stat sheet,
yeah,
but he's going to be a guy that controls gaps, can play 3 and 5 technique. 5 might be stretching it a bit, but he's capable of playing a variety of positions along the line.
Yeah.
And even if he needs to sub in, his reserves, like I know Corbin Bryant and Jarrell Worthy are the backups for Kyle Williams and Marcel Darius,
yeah,
but having seen the way Rex Ryan runs defensive lines in the past, I think we're going to see all these guys get worked in.
Yeah, for sure. You know, as you mentioned with Rex, that's something he's done in the past. He loves his defensive linemen. He loves bringing the rush. So the more capable bodies you have in there at the disposal, like I definitely think that's Rex's calling card, and we'll see that this season. So
one final thing with the depth chart that I noticed as well was with Ragland out, Zach Brown is obviously expected to be the starter. Rex Cinney could even be a 3-down back, which I find a bit generous, but you never know. Randell Johnson is Preston Brown's backup, and the battle between him and Brandon Spikes and David Hawthorne for that backup to Zach Brown, I think, is kind of interesting.
It is, because with Spikes, again, you have a guy who's been around the league for a while. He's been in different places. Like, he's played with the New England Patriots. So he's been on some very good teams. He's experienced, and he also knows the Bills. He's played with the Bills before, so he's definitely a name to keep on. He's definitely a name to keep an eye on for sure. I wouldn't rule him out in, you know, making a leap in the depth chart there, even though he just signed. So
it does sound like that year off football kind of humbled him as well. I think he's appreciated the game a little bit more.
For sure, you know, that will do that. You know, when your livelihood's taken away for a year, and again, for these guys that are playing football, you know, they've been playing since they're young. You know, football is really all they know. So for sure, if you've been missing for a year, you know, you're going to come back humbled, you're going to come back hungry, you're going to do whatever you can to, you know, get back your spot and make an impact.
Shifting back to the offense, I feel like we've covered everything that there is with the depth chart. It's kind of straightforward in the sense where there's not many surprises aside from the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Actually, there was one more thing that I missed. It was the kick return, punt return.
Yep.
Reggie Bush.
Good old Reggie Bush.
Like, 8 games or more this year? I mean, can we get that?
I mean, that's what you'd want to hope for, right? But, I mean, you know, the pessimist in me just says, I don't know. But if he can stay healthy, you know, like, he's just so dynamic. You know, you've seen the plays he's made in practice. You know, he's made some spectacular plays. The speed's still there at 31, even though he's had the injuries. So, man, if he can stay healthy, you know, that's, I'll just leave it at that. If he can stay healthy.
I wouldn't mind seeing at least one big Reggie Bush magic play where he just busts it out on a long punt return and takes it to the house. Like, I'd be happy with that if he just pulled one of those this season.
Yeah, for sure. You know, because I feel like in the return game, too, like, that's somewhere that the Bills need so much help in, you know, because, yep. Again, Marquise Goodwin, he hasn't always lived up to expectations, right? He came in as a speed guy. He came in as a guy they were hoping would give them that dynamic in the return game, and he hasn't really provided that. So hopefully Reggie can provide a different dynamic and add a spark to the return game.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how Marquise has never really worked out. He just hasn't been able to grasp football.
Yeah.
Like in Texas, he made some big plays here and there.
Yeah.
But you thought with his speed, special teams would be awesome for him, right? Yeah. And it just hasn't worked out that way.
And it's interesting you say that he hasn't been able to grasp football. Like, he was quoted as saying this offseason that, you know, if it was up to him, like, you know, track would have been his main sport. Like, he loves track. So with all that said, and he was trying to make the Olympics this year, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how he comes back to football, having trained so hard for track and kind of putting football on the back burner for a bit.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys that scouts would like to describe as he likes football, he doesn't love football.
Exactly.
And I know that burns people the wrong way, but maybe that might be why he hasn't worked out as well, because he's always had a love for track and just a like for football.
Yeah. Just going back to the running backs, one other thing we mentioned, in terms of the depth chart, so right now you got McCoy at 1, you've got Bush penciled in at the 2. How much do you think the Bills are going to miss Carlos Williams in the running game?
I think they're going to miss him quite a bit. He's got to get his weight under control.
Yep.
He's got to get back playing.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm saying that already at such a young age
for
him. Stay the hell out of Golden Corral. They don't even have one in Buffalo, man. Like, come on.
Yeah. And you know,
I feel like they're going to miss him, though. Like, he's a good pass blocker. He's really underrated.
Yeah, and see, the thing that's so interesting to me is, like, with Carlos Williams and LeSean McCoy, you kind of have a thunder and lightning kind of aspect to it. You know, with Reggie Bush and McCoy, like, to me, they're pretty much the same type of guy. Like, Reggie's, he's a little bit more versatile in the sense that, like, you can kind of line him up a receiver and he can run routes. I don't know if they'll do that with him, but early on in his career, we've seen that in college. But at least with Williams, you know, especially when you get down to the goal line, you have that thunder, that, you know, that back that can, you know, run it strong between the tackles and pound it in there. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the goal line rushing game is affected by his absence.
Yeah, I'm going to be curious as to who they want to slot in there. Maybe we'll see more Jerome Felton, or we'll see maybe even, dare I say, Glenn Gronkowski get some carries. I feel like that's a huge stretch, but...
Yeah, it is. I think they want to see Glenn more, you know, first and foremost, be that blocking back, and then he's also, too, going to have to make... he's going to have to make some plays in the receiving game, I think. But just in terms of, you know, guys to keep an eye on, you know, because for this first preseason game, Rex has said that McCoy may or may not play. So if he does play, it'll be very limited. I know Reggie Bush is out. So one guy that I'll be keeping my eyes on is James Wilder Jr. He's a Florida State guy. You know,
he's a big kid, too.
Yeah, big back. He's, what, about 6'1", 232, and he's sneaky fast. And he loves contact. So, again, just mentioning, just changing up that dynamic. Because with McCoy, you have that guy that can run in space, that shifty guy. You know, it'll be interesting to see James pound it, because that's what he loves to do, get contact and just hit people. So,
another guy that likes that is Mike Gillisley.
Yeah.
He did a lot at Florida, turned his legs a ton under Will Muschamp's offense there, which was pretty much ground and pound the whole time. But we saw at spurts between the Dolphins and the Bills where this guy can really, you know, pound the rock a bit.
Yeah, and in the carries that he did have last year, like, he was pretty explosive. Like, he had a 60-yard return. He had a 40-yard one. Like, he had a lot of big plays last year, so, and the limited carries that he did have, so.
Another guy that I think could, you know, if he pans out and gets his shit together, would be Jonathan Williams
Yeah.
from Arkansas. Like, he's a big body too. He did really well there, but can he, you know, keep out of trouble off the field?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's to be determined. He is being mentored by the great Thurman Thomas. Like, they've been out, they've had dinner together, and he's kind of, showing him the ropes. Maybe he needs to speak to him a little bit more and tell him, kind of stay out of trouble. But definitely, if you got, a legend like Thurman Thomas behind you, guiding you, you think at some point he's going to be able to probably right his ship. And again, too, like you mentioned, his size of like 5'11", 220, 225. Again, that's a pretty good size for a running back too. So he's definitely got some good physical size to him too.
Yeah, he's a bruiser, man. I think between him, Gillis Lee, Boom Heron, I feel like one of those three guys will probably be a part of the first cuts,
Yeah.
just based on that the position. There's a lot of players there,
Yeah.
but there's a great opportunity for one of them to secure a third running back job.
For sure. Like again, with Carlos Williams, again, being suspended for what he's being suspended for, it definitely has opened up, opportunities for those guys. So, and two, just, knowing that Greg Roman, he loves to run the ball. Like, you can never have too many good quality running backs in the rotation, right?
Totally agree, especially because they're going to take a pounding.
Yep. And they were what? The number one rushing offense last year too. So they'll be looking to
Yep.
repeat that. So you need more bodies to keep up with that.
Hey, if Shady's taking football as serious as he says he is this offseason,
Yep.
I think he'll be a huge boost for the rushing game because we didn't really see LeSean McCoy at the LeSean McCoy level last year.
Exactly. And it's so interesting too, because again, with Tyrod just being the threat that he is, like he can kind of open up holes, and you kind of get the option game going. That should open up stuff for McCoy, give him more space. He's really shifty in space, so that could be really interesting. That 1-2 with Tyrod and LeSean McCoy back there. So,
Yeah, I'd be happy to see that. Another guy that's shifty is obviously Sammy Watkins.
yep,
Obviously, his foot has been an issue this offseason.
yep.
Health, he says, is the most important thing to him having a successful season. He's discussed how he's changed up his route running a bit. He mentioned that to Chris Brown of the BuffaloBills.com, and he said he was kind of worried that if he could maintain being the same dynamic player he is because he's changing his routes. He said he's not like overly worried, but it's still in the back of his mind. What do you make of that?
Well, it's interesting, to change this up, going into your third season, you're making a change like that. I don't think it's a massive change, changing up his routes. Like, we'll see how that affects him. But I mean, if he feels like that's going to push him over the edge, get him more open, because again, with Sammy, he's kind of hovered around the 60 receptions range per year. So that's not like that's his and not his fault at the same time. So if he feels like, if he can change up the patterns and he can get open a little bit more, maybe we'll see him, increase those receptions, get it to maybe, a 75 or 80 plus this year. So, because he's always open, right?
Yeah,
So,
like any receiver,
yeah, for sure. They're all divas.
I had a chance to speak with Sammy when he was here in Toronto before he left for training camp at North by Northeast event. I'll play that right now, let you guys hear what we talked about. A lot of basically just like basic football stuff. This is before he was working out. He was just beginning his rehab, getting back into running and everything. So we talked a bit about Desmond Lewis, the locker room dynamic, and how he feels that he can become that next level player. So here's me talking with Sammy Watkins.
So I was just gonna ask you first off, how your foot's feeling, everything like that. How's rehab going?
Rehab is going pretty good. I'm walking. I'm doing a little bit more movement on it. And it's all about getting healthy. I think once I'm healthy, I'll be fine. And I'll be there the whole summer, working out, getting back right. I think it'll help my season.
Last year was a big year for Tyrod Taylor. You guys really hit it off down on the second half of the season. How's the chemistry going, and how are you and him bonding throughout this offseason?
Honestly, he's gonna do well. He's a professional, first of all. Now he's becoming a leader. He's taking full control over the offense, and he's been outstanding this whole camp. He's been throwing balls and making plays this whole camp, and you don't see too many, like last year, you don't see too many interceptions out of him. He's gonna play well. He's gonna make the smart plays. He's gonna put us in the best situations with the audibles. He's gonna put everybody in the right place. So he definitely knows his job.
How's Desmond Lewis progressing? He's had a real strong OTA so far. From what you've seen, how's he coming along?
He's hungry. I think for being a fifth round pick and not having the best training camp last year, not being the best he should have been last year. He took this whole offseason to actually work on what he needed to work on, and that's the biggest jump I ever seen anybody from a year span. I mean, from last year, he's not to this year. He's a totally different guy, mindset, route running, releases. He got a chance to actually help us on the team.
I know in the locker room for you guys, you got a lot of ACC dudes, specifically a lot of Florida State guys, and you got a lot of Alabama guys. You're a Clemson guy yourself. How's that work in the locker room when you're surrounded by Florida State and Bama guys for the most part?
It's all love, you know what I mean? We beat them this year, so we're good. And the only person that we let slip by is Alabama, and hopefully we see them again this year. But Florida State, hopefully we got their number right now. Hopefully we beat them for the next 3 or 4 years, and then they'll stop talking.
What's going on with Taj? Is Taj ever going to get a shot back in the league? I know you guys were real tight in college, you, him, and DeAndre. Is he going to get another shot at all, you think?
Right now, I know he's in the CFL. He's playing pretty good. Last year, he had a good season. This year, he's capable of doing anything he put his mind to. I think that's for anybody. I think for him, it's just getting that opportunity and the shot. The NFL is so hard on quarterbacks. So hopefully he get that shot, and when he get it, he take advantage of it.
Being one of the best receivers under 25, a lot of people group you, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, all those guys together. What's the next step you have to take in your game to kind of put yourself atop that group?
Really just staying healthy. That's been my biggest the biggest odd against me. I haven't been healthy throughout the whole season. I think if I stay healthy, I can be that 1,600 yard guy. I mean, it's not playing 17 games. It's not easy. It's not hard to get 1,600 yards. So I think just really I need to stay healthy through a whole season and finish the season, I'll be fine.
I noticed with Greg Roman, him coming in there, it's supposed to be a lot of ground and pound, but the way he's been utilizing you, it's been a lot of deep ball. You know, you've been a 9-route guy. Your average depth perception is like 19 yards per catch. Is that what he wants you to do in the offense, or is he kind of going to utilize you more this year? And kind of like in a role you were in Clemson, where you lined up all over the field, you were utilized out of slot. Are we going to see more of that this year?
Hopefully. I handled it well against the Jets in my last game. They moved around me everywhere, and I enjoyed it. They couldn't do too many things. I knew zone coverage. I knew what it was in because they motioned me. I get to see a guy don't follow me. Do he follow me? So, I'm pretty sure he utilized me a little bit more with moving around. But also, I'm going to be backside a lot, too. I mean, it just create matchup problems. And just depends on what type of game it is. Each week is different. My role is different each week. So it's not really about the yards or the stats for me. It's really about helping the team out when they need to be helped. And if that's calling my number on a 4th-and-10, I got to make that play.
Do you enjoy window shopping more or getting a guy one-on-one on the boundary?
Honestly,
so I've seen you window shop a few safeties out there, and it's been pretty lethal.
I really get a guy one-on-one at boundary. I take the odds. I take my bet, honestly. One-on-one coverage is what a receiver pray for every play. And to get it is good because you don't get it that often. You might get different 1,000 coverage or double coverage. So for me, I love to see one-on-one coverage and know for a fact it's one-on-one.
Aside from Darrell Revis, who's your favorite guy to go one-on-one with?
The guys I go in practice with, honestly, Steph and Darb, I consider those guys to be elite. If you look at the numbers that they got and the passing rates that they have on themselves, it's top 5 in the league. So,
yeah, it's real good.
I mean, us being in Buffalo, that's where you kind of get that stigma of them not being the best, and we're now on TV. But if you look at the numbers, those are guys I love to compete with, and it helps me with the Darrell Revis and the, hopefully this year, Richard Sherman's and everybody else.
How's Steph handling like the contract dispute right now, all that? Is the team handling that well for the most part from what you've seen?
I don't know how he's handling it, but I mean, the odds are in his favor.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been playing well. He's
top 5 DB in the league right now.
He's been doing his thing. So, I mean, as an athlete, I mean, you got to get what you deserve. And I think he deserves whatever he's telling them. It's 85, it's 85. 100 million is 100 million. Yeah. So you can't blame it. Blame him for wanting what he wants.
How's Mr. Pegula around the facilities? Is it a difference? You notice a difference there now? Or is it still kind of everything's business?
He's been an owner. He's one to win. That's the biggest thing. He's trying to find out every situation to put us in to make us get that edge over a team. So he's really wanting to win. That's what any owner wants, to have a winning organization.
All right, so obviously Sammy had a couple of interesting things to say in that interview there. I think the one thing that stood out to me was how he feels that health is really the only thing holding him back from becoming an elite player that can be in that class of the Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, even Dez Bryant. Do you agree with that?
I definitely think he is an elite talent. Like, I think he was top five for a reason. We saw the talent that he was in college. His freshman season was spectacular. So there's no disputing that he's an elite talent. But, yeah, he needs to keep on the field. And when he is on the field, we'd love to see him be 100% or close to 100% because, you know, that speed that he has. And there's a lot of stuff that Sammy does. Like, he's a natural pass catcher. Like, you don't see Sammy drop too much ball. So if he can stay healthy and if he can always be on his game, like, that's really scary. You know, like, I mean, corners, like, they're going to be having nightmares about this guy.
Yeah, I'm a huge Sammy Watkins fan. I'll make no bones about it. Seeing what he did to Darrell Revis last year in Week 17, obviously Revis had the destroyed wrist,
yeah. So
he couldn't jam him. That's what everybody was saying, and even Revis said that. But at the same time, his route running and the way he gets off the line and creates separation is just – it's arguably one of the best in the league.
For sure. Like, I mean, it's a thing of beauty, right? Because, again, with Sammy, first and foremost, like, he has that speed. And then, as I mentioned, like, some of those things are just innate. Like, he just does those things naturally. You know, he's a natural route runner, natural pass catcher. So when you combine those two elements, like, it's scary good. You know, how good he can be, like, I feel like, I mean, you know, sky's the limit for this guy. But, again, first it just goes back to health. We got to have him from all 16 games.
Yeah, and I found another thing interesting when I talked with him was how I asked him if he was going to be used more like what we saw at the end of the year where they lined him up everywhere, because that was something he did a lot in Clemson. All he said was he hoped so, but I think that would be the optimal way to use him, don't you? Instead of keeping him restricted to the boundary, line him up everywhere.
Definitely, because, I mean, it forces the DBs now, again, depending on what coverage you're playing. You know, if you're going to play man-to-man, are you going to go chase him if he's in the slot? You know, who's going to cover him in the zone? Definitely spread him out. It opens up the amount of opportunities to get him open. So definitely it's something he's comfortable with. Like, he's done that at college. He did it a bit last season. So that's definitely something I'd like to see them try. Because, again, just being the creative play caller that he is, I definitely feel like that's something Greg Roman could incorporate if he wanted to. So
I would definitely agree with all of that. And I really hope that Greg, you know, kind of doesn't hold the reins back so much on Sammy this year, and even Robert Woods to a certain extent. I'd love to see him just get more creative with these guys and use them everywhere. Get him in space.
Yeah.
That's all I really want to see.
And again, now with Tyrod, like, you know, last year, okay, he was just getting acclimated to the system. You know, here he is again, second full training camp. You know, he's comfortable. He, you know, by this point, he probably knows all the plays. He knows all the calls, the hot reads, the audibles. So start to open up that playbook more and take advantage of, you know, Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins. Definitely open it up more.
Yeah, both these guys have awesome ball skills in one-on-one situations too. So,
for sure.
You know, I know they like to throw the ball deep, but you can even get them on some intermediate routes where they're going to create separation, and all they need is a little window. And these guys are both hand catchers, which makes it even better, like you were saying earlier. Yeah. They don't drop a lot of balls.
No, not at all. And definitely, I feel like that's something that the Bills are going to try to incorporate a little bit more this season, because a big emphasis for Tyrod so far at training camp has been throwing those intermediate routes, throwing it across the middle, and he's been hitting them at a decent rate. So.
Yep, that, and even I've noticed a lot more, they're throwing a lot more back shoulder balls.
Yep.
If he can hit those, that timing is beautiful. We see guys like Aaron Rodgers do that all the time. I know comparing Tyrod Taylor to Aaron Rodgers is obviously a gigantic stretch, but the whole premise here is that when those passes work, you can't defend them.
Yeah,
because when the receiver breaks, the ball's already there.
Exactly. And again, with Sammy Watkins, like, he's not going to drop a lot of balls. So you give him that, like, that's a gift in the red zone. You know, it's a slam dunk.
Yeah, it should be, like, six every time. I mean, if Andy Dalton can figure it out with A.J. Green,
yep.
I don't see why Tyrod Taylor can't figure it out with Sammy Watkins.
Definitely agree with that one.
The wide receivers group as a whole, even the running backs. I know we touched a bit about this earlier, how we're kind of concerned about the skills position, but not overly concerned. Is there any resolution to kind of fixing the problems they have now? Is there anybody on the roster that can, you know, make you not worried? Because they are a bit thin.
Like, there's not nobody that just jumps off and I'd say, like, I'm not worried. Because, again, even, too, with the depth at wide receiver, like, you know, we're talking about Dez Lewis. Dez Lewis is a guy who hasn't really played at all. Greg Little's been somewhat of a journeyman, you know, picked relatively high, hasn't really stuck. So when it comes to the offense, I don't think there's anybody that doesn't make me worry at all. I don't think I can comfortably say that. So,
what about Greg Salas? Maybe him sliding in? He's a veteran. He's pretty crafty. He may not be the flashiest guy, but he's dependable.
Yeah, for sure. I would agree with that. He's dependable. He's a guy who's been around here, possession guy. He's definitely going to do his job. He understands his role. So if I had to have confidence in any of those secondary receivers, probably go with Salas, yeah, over the rest of the guys.
What about a guy like, man, we already touched on the running back position. That's the thing. And I feel like we both agree that it's okay, but there's a huge opportunity there for everyone wants to take it.
Yeah, because for sure, too, because, again, you know, even with that, you know, being pegged behind LeSean McCoy, you know, right now Bush is penciled in. But as we mentioned, you know, with Bush, like, we kind of have our concerns in terms of health. Like, he's not necessarily a guy that we think will be available every Sunday. So definitely there's a huge opportunity for somebody who wants to step up, whether that be Gilsley, you know, trying to solidify himself in this backfield, or whether it be one of those sleepers, as I mentioned before, James Wilder Jr., who's really hungry to make this team. You know, he's moved his whole family here. You know, he's
it's crazy.
Yeah, like he's telling people that, you know, Buffalo's going to be it. Buffalo's going to be where I stick, you know, after spending 2 years on the practice roster in Cincinnati. And then Jonathan Williams, too, is a guy who, you know, got with some good value. He was drafted in the later rounds, but had he not been injured in his senior year, he's definitely a guy who would have went a little bit higher in the draft. So,
yeah, I think he would have been like a round 3-4 kind of guy.
Yeah, for sure.
He pounded it in his junior season.
Yep.
What about a guy like in the receivers here? There's a bit of depth. What about Leonard Hankerson?
Leonard Hankerson, he's a vet. He's been around the league. Just trying to change up that dynamic. He's got a little bit more height. Like, he's somebody I would, again, say safely is above. He's at least 6'1". You know, and above. So he has that dynamic of height. As we mentioned, too, they're bad in the red zone. So, again, increasing height increases your opportunities to score, especially down there.
What about two speed guys now? Like Kobe Listonby, obviously from TCU, he can fly.
Yep.
And Kane Coulter from Northwestern used to be a quarterback, converting over to receiver. He's probably most famous for starting the Players Union at Northwestern. Mm-hmm. That's probably what he's most well known for.
Yeah.
But I think he's another interesting guy. I might be a bit undersized. Mm-hmm. That's the only issue. Because when you look at the Bills' depth chart here, let's say they carry, what, 5 receivers, 1 on the practice roster?
Yeah.
More than likely, it's going to be Sammy, Robert, Greg Salas, Marquise Goodwin, maybe, Greg Little, and then Desmond Lewis might land on the IR now, depending on what happens with his health from the injury. That'd be 6 guys right there, and that would mean – actually, we forgot about Marcus Easley, too. He's going to be there because he's a special teams ace.
Yeah.
So, man, yeah, that's going to be tough. Tough for these guys to crack the roster, actually, I'm looking at it now. Even a guy like Jared Boykin's there. He's not bad.
Yeah, he's another guy, too, who's been around for a bit. So he's got a little bit more experience on some of the younger guys. But, yeah, you talked about the kid from Northwestern. Liston B, he's very interesting to me, too, because he's a track guy. Like, he's got track speed. So the only problem is that he can't get on the field right now, you know, and when you can't get on the field, you know, you're giving reps to other guys, so who knows what they have in him, so.
Yeah, that's the one thing I kind of wonder about, is if you can't get on the field and we just know he's fast, is he not like a poor man's Marquise Goodwin?
Pretty much, you know, a younger version. I'm not sure how the speed equates, but, you know, it's, again, they're both track guys, ran track in college, so. But, yeah, man, like, you got to be on the field. You know, you got to get those reps, because if you're not getting them, somebody else will. So it really hurts.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that he's not healthy right now either at camp, right?
No.
Which could make him more susceptible to being cut. They could reach, like, a medical severance and part ways.
Yeah, for sure. And when your draft is so late, right, he's, like, a 6th-round guy.
So. Yeah, it's easy to part ways with a guy like that.
Exactly.
I'm trying to see what else here. If there's anything else that we missed with this receivers running back group. I feel like we've kind of covered it all now with it.
Yeah.
Anything else or any players that stand out to you before their first preseason game?
Stryker is a kid that I'm going to be keeping my eye on the defense, that linebacker. He's a kid. He's a guy from Oklahoma. He's a bruiser. Like, he's well undersized. 5'10". I'm going to guess he's 235-ish, maybe 240.
He's all speed, baby.
He's all speed, and he's all heart, right? Like, you saw the emotions when he got that phone call after not getting drafted. But, yeah, he definitely is a guy who plays bigger than his size. He wants it bad, and I feel like those are the guys that really appeal to Rex Ryan. You know, Rex loves, you know, football players, guys that play with pure heart, and I definitely think that embodies who Stryker is.
Yeah, I love Eric Stryker, except when he played against Bam in the Sugar Bowl and wreaked havoc. That was the one time I couldn't stand him. Yeah. But overall, he's a heck of a player. Watch him, you know, in the past, happy Big 12, you have a chance to rush a passer almost every down.
For sure.
He did that better than almost anybody.
Yeah.
Maybe Myles Garrett was the only guy he wasn't better than, but Myles Garrett's a freak. I think if Manny Lawson doesn't get healthy in time, it's looking like he will, or IK doesn't get his stuff together and he ends up getting cut.
Yeah.
I think Eric Stryker could sneak onto this roster and surprise a lot of people because he's got a lot of good pass rushing moves that, although he's undersized, he knows how to get guys off of him. And we'll see if he can translate that from the college level to the NFL level, but I think he's going to be a lot of fun to watch in the preseason game like you just mentioned.
For sure. Like he has to make those hustle plays, and he's going to be one of those guys where I'm sure he's going to get a little bit of looks on special teams. And when he does, like you're going to have to capitalize on that, right? Because that's the difference with you making the team or not. You know, because when you're on defense, shine, but also do the extra stuff for sure.
Yeah, I think that's where he might be able to make the team actually because he's got some pretty good speed. He's got good measurables.
Yeah. Another guy too, like we mentioned before, Kayvon Seymour, he's going to be another guy I'm going to be looking at. Cause again, just that value, like I think he's really surprised people, you know, drafted in the sixth round. Here he is, you know, getting reps, with the first team at corner. So, and he's a little bit bigger, when it comes to corners, if I'm not mistaken, he's a little bit bigger, in terms of his physique. So he's definitely going to be somebody that I keep my eye on too, on the defense in the secondary.
Yeah, I think he might be able to earn himself a spot on the boundaries, like a backup to Ronald Darby or even Stephon Gilmore. Like, he's obviously not going to play over either of those guys.
No.
But, you know, holding a backup spot isn't a bad thing. I know at USC, you guys would always kind of poke fun at him because he lacked interceptions.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like he couldn't get one.
Yeah.
He couldn't pull one in.
Yeah.
And then he was able to get one here and there. So maybe, you know, his ball hawk skills will pay off in Buffalo a little bit.
Hopefully.
I think on that note, though, we covered pretty much everything leading up to their first preseason game against the Indianapolis Colts. Same time next week?
Same time next week, buddy.
We'll be running this all the way through throughout the Bills season. It'll be a lot of fun. If you like what you're hearing, you can reach out to the show on Twitter or Facebook, at Tip of the Tower. You can reach out to myself on Twitter, at Chris O'Kranitz. You can reach Tristan on Twitter, at Tristan J. Garnett. If you like what you're hearing again, subscribe to us on iTunes and SoundCloud at Tip of the Tower. And thank you guys for listening. Enjoy the first preseason game of the Bills. Let's have a good season, guys.
Yep. See you next week, guys.